Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We're glad you're tuning in with us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church, check out our website at r4sq.org. Stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy. God bless.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we're about to close out our series on black and white. And my Pastor Angela, come on up and...
Good morning, Restoration Church. Woo, today, Pastor Jasper and I will be concluding the series called Black and White. Have you enjoyed the series? Amen. Have you missed any of the messages in the series? No? Well, then you don't need to go online and catch them. I tell you, we believe that God has done something miraculous. At this time, through these messages, the timing has been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the series, we have considered things that bring division and separation into the church. We took a look at race, culture, age, ethnicity, social status, status of citizenship, and others. And today, we're going to focus on the things that Jesus uses to build his church. Amen?
Amen.
The passage today that we're going to be teaching from is Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, and it says this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter immediately responded, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You need to notice there's no hesitation right there. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has none revealed this to you." Watch this, has not revealed this, "but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth," watch this, "shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Father, right now we thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and take your place center stage. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you're saying. I pray that this atmosphere would be conducive to learning. Teach us what you want us to hear through this message. Touch our hearts, O God, I pray, in Jesus' name. The title of the message today is "The Church That Jesus Is Building." And our text begins with Jesus asking his followers a question. And he says, "Who do people say that I am?" Who do people say that the Son of Man is? The disciples responded with, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah." Watch this. "Or one of the prophets." Then Jesus drops the bomb on them, and he says, not asking the question, "What does somebody else have to say about this?" He's saying, "What do you say about it?" Powerful.
Amen.
How this question is answered is the most important perspective we can have concerning Jesus and the church that he is building. What do you have to say?
Amen. Point one. The church Jesus is building is built on revelation from God. The church that Jesus is building is built on revelation. Revelation is information that was previously hidden, now being made known to us by God,
amen,
by his Spirit. As we see here in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 17, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you, Peter, And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As we see here from this powerful foundational portion of Scripture, Jesus is setting the church in motion. Peter gets the most profound truth about Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was spoken by inspiration of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. The statement that came from Peter came straight from God.
Yes.
And this was a revelation about Jesus. Amen. And it didn't come from man's reasoning.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14,
yes,
the scripture says, the natural man can never understand the spiritual things of God. That for they are, because they are, spiritually discerned.
Amen.
Revelation never comes from God because of you trying to figure and calculate God with your intellect. It comes from God to your spirit. Then it gets enlightened to your understanding. Let me read that again. Revelation never comes from God to you trying to figure and calculate God out with your intellect. It comes from God to your spirit. Then it gets enlightened to your understanding. It's so important that we never make human wisdom supersedes revelation from God. Revelation is information that is hidden and now being made known to your understanding. And the purpose of all revelation, all of it, the purpose of all revelation is to build his church.
Amen.
Yes, the purpose is to build his church. Not for you to look good, but to build his church. Amen.
Amen.
Which is you. You are his church.
Amen.
And he want to build you up. Then Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Many debate over whether the rock that Jesus is referring to here is Peter or is it the revelation itself. But I have to say both. Because one cannot work without the other. We need both. Amen. Peter represents the church itself as the body of Christ or the people of God. The revelation represents hidden information that the church needs to keep moving forward.
Yes.
One will not work without the other. Amen. What evidence that we can see that bears witness with this truth? What can we see today that bears witness with this truth? Amen. The devil in all his power couldn't defeat Jesus and
Amen.
Stop him from being raised from the dead.
Yes.
He couldn't stop Peter and the disciples
yes.
from starting the church.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Devil couldn't. No matter what the devil do, he can't stop Jesus and his church.
Amen.
Amen. So the true acid test of revelation, the true acid test of revelation, is it defeating the devil? Amen. Is the gates of hell prevailing or not prevailing? Amen. So what evidence can we do that we go by today that this is true? Well, as of 2010, Christianity was by far the largest religion in the world. It went from 12 to now 2.2 billion believers worldwide. Worldwide. That is evidence. Amen?
Amen?
That is why it's so important that we stay humble in an attitude towards God so we can he can reveal to us the needed information that his church needs. And us together collectively are his body as his rocks.
Excellent. Good job. Point number two. The church Jesus is building is built on a sure foundation. You know, there's many foundational things that people build their lives on and their eternal state of existence on. Sadly, they place their trust in things that cannot sustain them nor save them from the wrath that is to come. From the wrath that is to come. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church Jesus is building has a sure and strong foundation, a foundation that cannot be shaken by the things of this world, Amen. That cannot be shaken by the things that seem to be surrounding you. This foundation is strong, and it is surely capable of holding the church in its present Amen. State. Amen? The rock on which Jesus builds his church has been identified as three things. Watch this. Jesus himself Amen. Is number one. Without the Lord and his finished work of salvation provided for us by his death on the cross, we have nothing of which to build upon. Jesus is number one. Number two is Peter, who became the first great leader in the church in Jerusalem, and stands as one of the many building blocks that Jesus uses and used to set his church in motion. Amen. And number three, the confession of faith that Peter gave and that all subsequent believers would also give. When he says, "Who do you say that I am?" That was the confession of faith. Amen?
That's right, sis.
Let's take a look at these, starting with the confession of faith. When Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter spoke up immediately without hesitation because he knew who he was. Without hesitation. You got to know in your knower.
Right.
When you are asked, right. you better have an answer. Amen?
Amen.
He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen, sis.
That was Peter's confession of faith in who Jesus is. And anyone who comes to him must have a similar faith. Amen? In Mark 11:22, Jesus told his disciples, "Have faith in God." Faith establishes the basis of our relationship. There is nothing more foundational than our faith. Amen? If you do not have faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in his finished work for you, the foundation on which you're building upon is going to be shaky at the very best. And according to the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, the next thing we see that serves as a foundation for the church to be built upon is Peter or the apostles. Who you need to get this. Peter or the apostles and the prophets of the faith. What does it mean to be built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? What does that even mean? It means the church will not be built on modern ideas. It means that it will be built from our spiritual heritage
Amen.
Given to us by the early apostles, amen,
That's
and
right.
the prophets of the church. It means that the DNA of our church is the apostolic and prophetic anointing and gifting. It is our anointing. It means that the DNA that we have is to prophesy, to go out and establish God's
Amen.
Kingdom
right.
where it has not yet been established. It is in our DNA, amen?
Amen?
It is also in our DNA to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, even as Peter and the establishing member of the church. Hallelujah. It is in our DNA. But the problem is that people are mistakenly calling this building the church. This building is not the church.
Amen.
When in reality, God's household is not a building. It is a group of people carrying out the doctrine and the acts of the founding apostles. Amen? We're told in 1 Peter 2, "You have come to Christ, who is the living stone." He called Christ the living stone. Then he said, "And you are built upon his as living stones upon living stones." This is to say Jesus Christ is first. He's the living stone. Upon him is built first. The apostles, then all the first century believers, the second century, the third century, up to the fourth and the fifth and the 20th. Do you hear what he's saying? Here's where we fit in. When we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, we become living stones, joined into that great church which Jesus is building. Look at your neighbor and say, "You look like a pebble." Amen. You look like a pebble. Peter's describing the church as a living spiritual house with Christ as the foundation and the cornerstone, and you and I are the rocks. Hallelujah. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate foundation of the church. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Isaiah 28 says, "Behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, precious cornerstone of a sure foundation." This cornerstone is the Messiah, the foundation of whom we better be building our lives upon. Matthew 7 says, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been built on the corner." It had been built on the rock.
That's right.
Amen. My question this morning is this: how wise are you? How wise are you this morning? Is your life built on the things of this world, or is it built on a firm foundation established by God? How wise are you this morning? Point number three: the church Jesus is building is built on God's delegated authority.
Amen.
As we were preparing this message, this one in particular shook me to the core. I thought I had a real grip on this, Pastor Jasper, and the more I dug in and realized, let me show you what I found. Matthew 16, 19 said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Well, we know that. Did you know that keys signify authority? Did you know that through Peter, Jesus is passing on to his church his authority to forbid and permit on earth? He gave us that authority according to God's word and his purpose. The use of terms, watch this, forbidding and permitting, means Jesus has already activated what's needed to bind and to loose. It's already been activated. It's left up to us to implement it.
That's right.
Wow. Look at the authority. It's already been done. Either you do it or you don't. But you have the ability because he's already given it to you. I want us to take a look. This is what wrecked me. Romans 13, 1. A different type of delegated authority. Romans 13, 1 declares this: "Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God." Whew, I could go off on this right now, but I am not going to. But that is a word for a time such as this. It's over. You don't have any more choices. Now let's move on. Amen? That's the bottom line. We don't have anything else to say. Submit and move on. Here we go. I'm going to leave that right there. The word authority means this: the power or right to do something, particularly to give orders and see that they are followed. The word authority in the Bible usually means a person's right to do certain things because of the position or the office that they hold, which has been appointed by God. Why is Paul saying this to us? Watch this. When we acknowledge a new king in Jesus Christ, we might be tempted to rebel against earthly authority. That needs to be said again. When we acknowledge a new king in Jesus Christ, we might be tempted to rebel against earthly authorities. Whoo, that'll preach all day right there. Now, I'm not talking about just governmental authority. I better leave that alone, hadn't I? Okay. Watch this. If it is true that all authority has been appointed by God, to rebel against them would mean that you are rebelling against God. Whether it's in the church or outside the church, it's what it says. I'm not making it up. If they're in a position that has been appointed by God, you better submit, or you will be rebelling against God Almighty. That's a dangerous place. Watch this. In Ephesians 5:21, Paul uses, this is what wrecked me. He uses the same Greek word as he does in Romans 13, 1 that we just talked about. He said, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ Jesus. Did you notice that he did not use the word obey in either of those scriptures? He didn't say obey. He said submit. Two different words completely. Sometimes it's what he doesn't say. Amen? Watch this. The focus of the word submit is the voluntary choice. You're not hearing me. To submit to the person in authority. It's the voluntary choice. If I say, you better obey to my child, then that means I'm placing a demand on you. You better do what I'm telling you. But that's not what he said. The word is submit. That's because you make a choice to submit. Watch this. It's not the demand of the other. It's not because I demand it. It's not the demand of the other that brings submission, but the desire within the person that produces a submissive posture. This is not a weak response to power. And this is where he wrecked me. It is not a weak response to power. It is a powerful gesture of love. Not a weak response to power, but a powerful gesture of love.
Amen, amen, amen. Point four, that was powerful, sis. Point four, the church Jesus is building is built on servanthood. Amen. Mark 10, verse 42 through 45. But Jesus called to himself and said unto him, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whosoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Listen very carefully. Jesus never forces us to this position. He calls us to it. And we have to choose it. The choice is stimulated out of his love for us. God never demands for you to serve him. Jesus came down and showed us how much God cares for us. God became a servant to us to give us an image of himself that was never given before Jesus. In essence, giving us permission to be as he was to us. Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. So when God became man, he showed us the attitude we should have as his church. God commanded man before the fall to rule over every creature on the earth. Amen? Amen. He never commanded man to rule over another man. Ever since the fall of man been trying to exert his authority over another man by force. That behavior is a result from the fall. Amen. The kingdom isn't like that. Don't get me wrong. Jesus wants to control, rule, and dominate your life. He would love to take control of your life, but it's never by force or manipulation.
Amen.
You are not just a servant in the kingdom. You are his servant. Yeah. To be his servant is the highest position in the kingdom. To be his servant is the highest position in the kingdom. If there's a struggle to be a servant, maybe because it's the God of this world has given us a wrong perception of a servant. The image of a servant will get skewed in the minds of many believers as long as we hold the idea that has been formed in our hearts by Satan. If the thoughts and ideas of being a servant stimulate negative emotions, then more than likely we have accepted a lie from the evil one. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men please us, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, without goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Let me emphasize that. As to the Lord and not to men. Your service reveals your relationship with God.
Come on, Jeff.
Why? Because I'm not supposed to be serving you like you're a man. When you see my service, it's as if Jesus asked me to do it. So that reveals your relationship with God. Why? Because you're responding as if it was Jesus, and that's how I can see your relationship. Ooh, thank you, Lord. With him and your attitude towards him. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Vaughn, come on up. Pastor Angela, take your place. What you're now about to experience is called a good old-fashioned foot washing. In John chapter 13, verse 12 through 15, this is Jesus talking. When he had washed their feet and put his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right to do so. I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given an example that you should do just as I have done as unto you." Let me read that again. "I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. The commandment of servanthood to each other begins with Jesus. The true master servant, he led by example of what serving each other looks like. Which position will you take? Which position will you take? The floor or the chair? The floor or the chair? It's your choice."
Whew. The church Jesus is building is powered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said to his followers, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Everything we do for God, everything we do with God is powered or fueled by the Holy Spirit. The power to serve as we should serve, the power to heal, the power to set people free is done by way of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For without him, we are powerless. The church cannot be built as Jesus would have her built if the Holy Spirit is not here. He is the glorious manifested power and presence of God in the earth today. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to join us in our efforts as Jesus builds His church. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched your life through Restoration Church, we would love to hear your story. So please email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless you.